in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live. We are back in studio here in the Tampa Bay area at Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio. Matt here. Caleb.
Two passing titles. It's two Super Bowls, three appearances, five straight championship games. Like, you can't even, like, how do you call it? It's ridiculous.
And when he has a Sweet 16 party, it's going to be amazing.
Sweet 16.
Because he's so young. He did all that before he was
27,
even
16. Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy at that age.
He's definitely there. You know, he's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah.
And if that's what he's done in the first 5 years.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
And the beautiful thing about him is the way he's structured his contract, it's team friendly. Chris Jones has signed to a long-term deal. Glenn Clark has a few more years. Kelsey's there. Their center is a stud, all-pro guy. He's a rookie. Left tackle's on a long-term deal. And they have a draft capital, two first-round picks from Tyreek Hill to only make the team better.
I love what the Kelsey brothers did.
Oh, they're awesome.
Now, which do you know about? Do you know about the pregame or the postgame?
I know the postgame and then their podcast afterwards.
Okay, see, I don't listen to that stuff. But what I was told is brothers got together after. Older brother said, F you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, granted, it's brothers, and they're going to...
100%.
And I get it 100%. F you. We didn't win. You did. But yeah. I'm happy you won because we didn't. It was a great game to watch.
It was.
It was.
You know, I truly enjoyed it. I didn't care either way, so the penalty didn't bother me either way. But a penalty is a penalty.
Yeah.
And he admitted it was a penalty. It did change the way he was running. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did. If you grab somebody's shirt, it's going to change.
And on that sport, people don't realize those first two plays, the last two touchdowns they got, when it was the same concept,
right?
Inside the pivot, right. Outside the release, and they messed up on it twice.
Right.
So the third time, you're like, I'm not going to get beat on that again. Mm-hmm. And then Pat Mahomes throws it over there because as soon as he throws it, he points like, hey, that's a hold. So everybody knew it was a hold.
Right.
Right. But fans want to see, oh, you know, and it's just, hey, that's sports, man. You don't always get the fair to landing.
Now, I think that Bradbury saved the city of Philadelphia from burning it down, because by him saying it was a hold, they can't complain that it wasn't a hold.
Did.
Well, I know. That's Philly.
You know the funny thing, and we talk about officials all the time. The funny thing is, it's like damned if you do, damned if you
right.
don't. If you don't call it, you know, it's like all right. officials suck. Then you do call it, it's like, why would you call it?
They still situation? Suck. Right.
And I'm just like, dude, like, hey, you can't win. You can't win.
Let me tell you about the city of Philadelphia. So I'm stationed there early 80s. I'm coaching a little league team.
Yeah.
While I'm in the military. And a couple of the 12-year-olds called me after the 76ers won the NBA title. Mm-hmm. And they said, Coach, you going to come with us? I go, where? Oh, we're going to go in the streets and flip cars. 12-year-olds. I'm like, what?
Funny story on that note. So there was a basketball player. I know not much time. But there was a basketball player playing in Philly after the Philly lost that game. He has Joel Embiid, the center. I forget what team they're playing. But he's recording outside his window like at 2 a.m. He goes, guys, I know you lost, but come on, I need to get some sleep. I got Joel Embiid tomorrow. It's going to be a long day for me. Can y'all go home?
When the Bucks went up to beat the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, they found out where the hotel was, and the fans banged on drums and did all that stuff all night long.
Yeah.
All night long, just obviously to affect the team. All right, let's go hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to head out to Las Vegas via the phone lines and kick off this weekend's UFC. We still have to talk about last weekend's UFC.
Yep.
And we'll find the time to do that. But when we return, guest number one, Nazim Sadikov, who will be fighting this weekend. I think it's at the Apex, right? Yeah, it's at the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Live from Tournament de Pizza. We're back here. It was cool last week. It's hard to believe it was a week ago already.
Yeah. Yeah, time's flying by.
You know, Dana White on Tuesday, everything else on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It definitely was cool. Pound for pound list.
Yes.
So that just came out.
Yes.
I have some thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've said John Jones is the GOAT.
Yes.
But he hasn't fought in so long. How is he on the list still?
I don't care.
He'll get back on the list in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, but
I still have him on the list, man. It's like.
But the rule was, back when I was doing it, the rule was you had to have fought within the last year.
Okay.
And if that's still the rule, he hasn't fought within the last year. And give me two more weeks and he'll get back on it. But he's not right now. All right, we'll continue talking about the pound-for-pound list. UFC back in action this weekend in Las Vegas. Let's welcome to the program Nazim Sadikov. Nazim, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you feeling?
Things are good. More importantly, how are you feeling? It's just the beginning of fight week?
Yes, we're cutting some weight, getting some media done. We're doing signings right now. We just arrived to New York New York Hotel. We're going to do some signings. Everything is good. Fight week is smooth. I'm surrounded by the best guys, so it can only be smooth.
I know it's just the beginning, but how do you treat this fight on Saturday like any other fight that you've had up to this point?
Listen, every fight, the objective is the same. Win, showcase, be impressive, make a statement. It's all the same things that circulate in my mind. All the way out until walking out to the cage, and even in between rounds, I'm always that's my style, is to come forward, fight, look for the fight, don't let the fight be a stalemate, and impress. So this fight is no different. You know, it's a different opponent. The UFC now, it's the UFC now. However, it doesn't change what I'm going to do Saturday night, and that's come forward and do what I always do.
You spoke on your, you know, cutting weight this week. We've seen a lot of guys struggle with weight cut the last, you know, year, and that's a big part of your sport, you know, being MMA. What's your weight cut like? What do you usually walk around at? How much weight do you have to kind of cut back on during fight week?
How much weight I cut? I mean, I don't have a massive weight cut, but I don't have a small weight cut either, because right when I signed this contract, I was actually about 28 to 30 pounds over. So I was walking around 183 to 185. So this is a three-month process for me, which I take very seriously. I'm very disciplined with my diet and everything. So I get down, not easy, but fairly professional. So it's not like this, like I'm dying. You know, you see some guys, they're like praying to God that they don't pass out and die on the scale. I do everything professionally. And now that I have the UFC helping me out, the UFC PI, all these guys are giving me nutrition advice. They're giving me the water loading protocol. So I don't really have much to worry about other than getting the sweat off. And it's just another fight week.
Nassim, what's the craziest, funniest, strangest, whatever thing that's ever happened either to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
The funniest thing, I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know if any mics have ever picked this up. I'm sure the UFC would be able to pick it up if I do decide to do it Saturday night. But I sometimes talk to my opponents a little bit in like clinches, or one time I had a guy on my back and I was telling him, listen, once I get out of here, you're screwed, because he had a good body triangle on me and he was controlling me well. And he literally has my back and I'm telling him, wait till I get out of here, I'm going to mess you up. And I get up and I do just that. And then the look on his face, and we start exchanging and stuff. So, like, I just have fun when I fight because I just love to do it. I love to be there. And on Saturday, there's not going to be a better place in the world than in the UFC Octagon.
How do you relax fight week or any other week? And is it different if Matt Serra's there or not?
Well, Matt Serra isn't with me on this fight week. It's Matt Favola. Anyways, he's the guy that was with me in my Contender Series fight. We just hang out, you know. If we have energy, if I have energy, I might take a stroll down the strip tonight. If not, you know, we're going to stay home, watch movies. It's just regular, just homies hanging out, honestly. Nothing in particular that I do to, like, get my mind off the fight. Because it's not going to be off the fight, you know. Saturday is the night of my life. It's the fight of my life. So it's going to be on my mind. But I just learned to relax. I pray to God. So I always feel good. I'm always calm. So that's it, man. Just chilling, watching movies, hanging out. And that's it, man. Getting media work done, all that stuff.
I was just trying to be a little funny because that's the way Matt Serra is. That, you know, Matt is always having a good time, and sometimes, you know, you're trying to be serious and Matt stomps on your foot or something.
Oh, yeah. I got, like, my second fight with Serra Longo team. They're, like, laughing in the locker room up to, like, 5 minutes before I'm walking out. And I'm still zoned in, of course. But I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, is this right? Are we supposed to be joking? Like, all the way up until the walkout? You know, I didn't know, like, was I supposed to tell them to stop, or was I supposed to joke with them? So I was just, like, just staying in my zone, not letting anything distract me. But, yeah, they definitely like to laugh all the way up until the walkout. And maybe at the walkout, they'll laugh a little as well.
Nassim, after your 3 months of strict dieting and your weight cut and everything like that, after your fight, what is your go-to, like, cheat meal, or just kind of like how you just kind of let loose? Like, what's the one meal looking forward to eating after it's all said and done?
I'm going to eat a bunch of pizza. I think that's a lot of people's go-to, because pizza is, like, so accessible, especially in New York. And then when you have to cut it, and then you have all these good pizzerias around you during camp, but you can't have it, that's where you want to run to first. You know, some pasta, some pizza, of course, my traditional meals as well, some like Azerbaijani cuisine. However, like, that stuff is not the worst for you during weight cut, depending on what you get from there. So it's pretty much like you could even just get lean meat and all that stuff. So it's definitely the Italian food. It's definitely the pizza, the pasta, all that stuff.
So Nassim, I'm going to go ahead and interject here as the inventor of the pizza diet. I only eat pizza for a living, and I became a professional bodybuilder, cutting weight, eating nothing but pizza. So when you come to Florida, I would roll out the red carpet for you at my restaurant, and we can set that up for you. But my question is more about the culture of where you come from, Azerbaijan. My wife's Brazilian. I know the culture in Brazil is different.
Like that's Friday the night. First hard word he's ever pronounced properly.
Yes, Brazil.
I'll have to give you
But every Friday night, the jiu-jitsu schools are packed because it's just part of the culture. What is the fight culture like from where your hometown is, or where you're from?
Yeah, we have a fighting history. We've been in wars. We've been the minority amongst empires. We've been the oppressed, or however you want to say it. We've been in all those roles throughout history. So any nation of that sort is going to learn to stand up for themselves, defend themselves. So it kind of became a part of our culture. And even like Azerbaijani households, the fathers, they'll tend to put their sons into training just to be at least be able to defend themselves and their families. And I'm not speaking for everybody, but I'm speaking for a lot of Azerbaijanis, I believe. So, yeah, that is just a part of our culture to be athletic, to be a sportsman. And again, not everybody's an athlete, but it definitely is a big factor to be manly and to be able to defend your family and stand up for the weak.
Before I ask you about the fight itself and what the fans can expect, explain your nickname. Where'd that come from?
So Wolf was given to me by one of my training partners back in the day, just because of my style. I was like always coming forward, and I was doing it calculated. So it's like a wolf is like a calculated animal. It does not just strike and try to use force. It does it with precision, with using its mind. And I also believe it's my spirit animal. I always relate it to the wolf. Now, Black Wolf is a rare breed of wolf, and they don't travel in packs. And that's, I just relate that to my life as a whole. And not that I don't have an amazing family, friends, and great team, but there was just a lot of moments in my life where I caught myself and I realized that in some situations I'm alone, and I had to carry myself in those situations. So that lone breed, that the Black Wolf breed, given that they don't travel in packs, I adapted that to myself just because of the circumstances I was in at some points in my life.
Good stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it as well. What can the fans expect to see when you get in the octagon on Saturday?
Just a great fight, because I know the guy I'm fighting, he's also a young prospect trying to make a statement himself, trying to let everybody know he's here to stay, that his first fight was not what he's capable of. So I know he's coming prepared. However, I'm stubborn as well, so you're going to have two stubborn guys, and we're just going to see who's going to go to the end, who's going to push it to the very, very end. And you know me, I'll come forward. I'll always look for the fight. Tired or not, I'm going to look for the fight, wherever that may be. Even if you watch my grappling and ground exchanges in my fights, I'm always looking to smash. I'm always looking for the finish, even on the ground. There will be no stalling. There will be 100% coming forward, 100% action on my end.
I wish it was Saturday already. I'm ready to watch
I'm hyped up for that.
get the
Let's
fight
go,
going.
Guys. I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Nazeem, thank you very much for your time. Awesome. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a case of salsa from Blue Smoke Salsa, for coming on and talking to us today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Have fun on Saturday night. That is
thank you.
Nazeem Sadikov back getting into the octagon. It's his first official UFC fight. He obviously fought in the Contender Series. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, a friend of the program, a friend of ours.
We have friends?
All right, I'm sorry. A friend of mine. Okay, when we return. Right. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Brad Nashville Star, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. And they have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing, Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, going from the Octagon to our next guest. We both, and I hate to even face car one time, let's welcome to the show our good buddy, Kyle Kirkwood. Kyle, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
A couple weeks away from the return to St. Pete and the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. How do you prepare? How do you get ready, even though you've driven on this track, to come down and drive again?
Well, there's actually a lot that we can do, right? Like, for instance, just a couple of days ago, we were in Sebring, Florida, doing some testing, which is similar weather conditions, similar track, I guess you could say. And but a lot of what we do is on simulators, right? So we run sims on computers. We run sims with us drivers in the simulator, right? And there's a lot we can do online, but not so much in real life and on racetracks. We only get a couple days a year just before we start the season. So it's a long 5 months of not really driving. Then we get a couple days where you're just eating from a fire hose or drinking from a fire hose, and then we're straight into St. Pete or St. Pete racing on the street.
So are you telling me, because I've driven on some of those simulators, that I could maybe drive in one of these races?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but no, our simulators are pretty high advanced, right? They're multi-million dollar simulators that manufacturers develop, and it's meant to feel just like the race car, but I wouldn't say it's identical to actually driving a race car.
So Kyle, if I can deliver a pizza, could I drive a race car?
I can't answer that either.
Kyle, okay, so there's this idea that goes around when people talk about high-performance athletes. You know, people say that you're driving a car, so it's not the same thing as, like, running and jumping. Can you tell people how difficult it is to move at that speed, to have your core engaged for that long? You know, there's no AC in there. It's not like a comfortable car. And to move at that speed and not hit other people. Can you tell people how hard that is?
Yeah, that's a common misconception, isn't it, where people are like, oh, all you're doing is pushing pedals and turning a wheel, and it's not necessarily that, right? I mean, we're pulling 3 to 4 G's in corners. We don't really have a power-assisted brake. We're hitting the brake as hard as we possibly can. We don't have power steering, and we're making thousands of pounds of downforce. So the car gets very, very heavy in the high-speed corners especially, right? And it's hot. We have this aero screen now that doesn't allow a lot of air, and we don't have AC. We've got multiple layers of fire resistant material on us, and it gets
over 120 degrees inside the cockpit of the car. If you actually look at some of our heart rate data, we'll consistently be above, say my max heart rate's close to 190. I'll be at 170, 175 for a 2 hour period inside the car, given that it stays green the entire time. So it definitely is very physical and it is very strenuous.
I used to say, I want to say as a joke, but people didn't know I was joking. I'm like, yeah, when these drivers get hungry, they just pop a Hot Pocket in the microwave that's right there where the glove compartment used to be. And I had people believing me that you guys could grab a snack while you're driving.
Yeah, no, we can't grab anything. The only thing we get is a bit of water, and it's based off of a pump on our steering wheel. We can hit a button and get some very lukewarm water in our mouth. Usually you're only using that during caution, though, because you kind of forget about it going down the straights. You're so focused in.
With the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete 2 weeks away and you're prepping for that, when do you start prepping for the race after that and the race after that? You know, kind of like the NFL, you know, they're looking at this week. They'll worry about next week as they get closer. But I don't know if you can do that, you know, and only have a couple days to prepare for the next race, do you?
Yeah, well, we kind of prepare all the way through the off season, right? So we'll prepare for super speedways and permanent road courses and street courses, right, throughout the off season. So we can kind of just switch in and out of it. So as soon as we leave St. Pete, we're already focused on the next event. Granted, St. Pete to the following event, which is Texas, is a month span, right? So we have a long time to kind of get ready for that. But once we get into the thick of things, which is like May, June, July, where we only have a couple of days between events, yeah, it does get kind of tough, and it's hard to kind of switch out of every single weekend into a new event and into a new track. But that's where this time that we have a little bit of time off, we can start to focus on all that stuff.
Are there rivalries out on the track? Like, you know, all sports players and sports teams have guys that they compete a certain way with. Maybe there's another driver you don't like that you're competing against harder than anybody else on there. Different drivers drive different ways. What's that process like for you as you're approaching every race?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I don't have any true rivals. There definitely is drivers that have certain rivalries with certain people, right? And I think that's pretty well known who those people are. But for me, the only thing I would say is certain drivers drive certain ways, and so you kind of have to change the way you race them based on what you've already known and how they race, right? So it's kind of just predicting what you expect this person to do. So that was something that was all new to me coming into the IndyCar series last year, is all these new drivers I've never driven against. I got to learn their tendencies, and that's something that I probably know a lot better now than I did last year.
All right, so we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season, the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. Have you ever caught yourself either in a race or in a warm-up lap or whatever, kind of just like enjoying the view?
Yes. You know, I'm a Florida native, right? I'm born and raised in Jupiter, Florida, and I still live there. And it's so nice to come back to St. Petersburg, where you're next to the water, you're in downtown St. Pete, the place I used to visit when I was a little kid. It's cool to just do those first warm-up laps. Obviously, you're so focused in on the race, and you're trying to get everything within temperatures and get your tires in and whatnot, but you do take a moment to kind of look around at the stage and see all the fans. You get to see the water and all the boats on the left. You come down the runway. It's definitely not the worst views you could have at a racetrack. So that's one of the better ones for that.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough during the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas a couple of weeks ago to get one of those ride-alongs at the Las Vegas Speed Trap. Track, not trap, even though I felt like it was a trap. As I'm going around, I'm arguing with my producer when I got done. I said, you got two laps and I only got one. And he's like, no, you got two. And we literally argued for 2 days. I thought I only did one lap when in fact I did two. As I was looking around, you kind of lose track of a turn of where you are. And that's how I was relating that I looked around and missed a lap somewhere.
Yeah, that's a common thing in oval racing sometimes. Once you've done 200 laps around a place, you kind of forget which direction you're pointed, right? Especially if the two corners are very similar in geometry. But that's something you should probably look into if you forgot you did an entire lap.
So Kyle, in Major League Baseball, they have different levels and leagues, you know, A, AA, AAA, up to the Major League. You know, where are you at in the race career? What is the pinnacle of racing? And I know that there's leagues to get to where you are and how you and where are you at in your process?
Yeah, so that's a good question, right? Because a lot of people look at NASCAR and F1 as the pinnacle, NASCAR being in the U.S., but IndyCar is also a pinnacle, right? There's you have, which is the Road to Indy ladder system, that's kind of the AA and AAA leading into the NTT IndyCar series. And then you have NASCAR, where they have stock cars and Xfinity leading into NASCAR Cup. And then F1 has F3, F2, then F1, right? So there's kind of three pinnacles, I guess you could say, that people would look at, and that's IndyCar, NASCAR, and F1. And they're all, I believe, parallel. Some of them get more viewership than others, right? But at the end of the day, that is cool. So it's pretty cool that St. Petersburg is able to have a pinnacle motorsports race in the downtown of St. Petersburg.
Kyle, as always, great catching up with you. Hope to see you in a couple weeks down there, the pre-race and all that kind of stuff that we do. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a case of salsa from Blue Smoke Salsa as well.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kyle, we'll talk to you again real soon. Kyle Kirkwood returns to the Speedway, and you need to go down to this, Caleb, and watch the race. I know we went down, but go down, catch the race, enjoy it. The atmosphere, everything is kick-ass. Speaking of kick-ass, he's on when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Cozy Coleman, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Terrell Owens, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from our studio, away from studio, Tournament de Pizza. What's today's special?
I did a BLT, and I did a tomato bisque soup with basil.
Is this that special bacon?
Yeah, it's thick.
Well, yeah, that
I like them.
No, that bacon that that Kelly brought was just killer.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's illegal bacon.
Illegal bacon?
Well, it wasn't processed through like my vendor, so I don't know where it came from, but we just cooked it off.
Do you have to go through vendors?
You
and
do,
stuff?
For,
yeah, really?
Well, because
is this
so,
union?
No, there's so many like
is
outbreaks.
This union all
but,
of a sudden?
No, there's so many like outbreaks of E. coli, romaine. Like there's so many things that are recalled that if you don't go through a supplier that's credible, if you get sued, they take the backlash because they distributed it. If you just buy it on the corner on a produce stand and you come to your restaurant with it and someone gets sick, that's on you. And so I'm not taking that liability.
So it's just a rumor then?
It's
No, it was a rumor about the bacon you used.
No, that's for my friends, so it was personal, so I can cook that
so
off.
So if we
but
get sick,
to the public,
okay, right.
I wouldn't dare. But like that just happened in Sarasota, Listeria breakout in the ice cream place, and they lost a $4 million lawsuit, a small business.
Wow. So. I don't know if you heard, and I want to get this in real quickly before our next guest, but Knucklehead brought the food god to our table.
I did.
The food god is Kim Kardashian's best friend. Okay. And finally, I said, I have to ask you a question. It's something we've argued about. And not only did he agree with me, he called you every name in the book for thinking. You know, we've had this argument about when like a secret shopper or whatever comes in. Knucklehead thinks that they should call the owner and let the owner know that they're coming.
That's not my stance.
Which we've argued. We'll argue more later. We're not going to argue right now.
Okay.
Because we're going to head out to Albuquerque.
Oh, Albuquerque.
I think he's in Albuquerque.
I'll be there Friday.
Let's welcome to the back to the show, the Marine, Mike Richmond. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. I know, you know, we've talked, the fans have talked, the media has talked, everybody's talked about this fight. Will it ever happen? Will it get signed? It's now signed. It's a couple days away. What's going through your mind?
You know, I'm just excited that this fight is finally going to happen. You know, I think we're about easily a year or more in the making, right? So, you know, we had the ups and downs that build up. So thinking it's going to happen, then it kind of died off. Then it kind of went away. Then it built back up again. So, you know, now it's here, and now it's time to face the music.
A lot of combat sports, a lot of sports, and real life, you know, has mental, you know, it's mental. And I'm curious, as a fellow veteran, I'd think that the background, the Marine background, boot camp, all that kind of stuff has got to help preparing for any fight and this one.
No, absolutely. I think my military service, my Marine Corps service has definitely helped with my, you know, my mental toughness, the mental build up for the fight. But like anything else, you know, even though it is a fist fight, we're getting, you know, we're going after it. There's still that level of, everyone still gets that level of nerves and anticipation of like a professional athlete that is, you know, lacing up their cleats to go out and win a big game. You know, there's still at a, there's still a level of performance anxiety. For me, I just want to go out there and perform to my best of my abilities. So those are the nerves that kick in for me. If I don't give the fans the best version of me, if I don't give, you know, my best performance, that's the only thing that I get worked up. But as far as the combat in itself, you know, getting hurt, stuff like that, no, that doesn't faze me at all.
So, Mike, I'm a media professional, a journalist. but my real question is, you know, because I work the red corner, because I'm neutral, because I like so many of you athletes, and the BKFC is such a small knit group of guys, you know, I got myself in trouble with Lorenzo and Hector Lombard down in Miami because I wanted both of those guys to win. I gave them both encouragement. I told them both to go get their hand raised. And I feel the same way with you. I want you to win. I want Lorenzo to win. But how do you feel about it? Because Lorenzo loved it, but Hector saw a betrayal that I wasn't loyal and I needed to pick a side. So how do you feel about people wanting both of you guys to do well on Friday night?
No, I think that, you know, that is the people that want us both to win, which there are a handful of people of fans out there, right? That just lets you know that there's a big group of fan base, a big fan base of people out there that love the sport, love what we both bring to the table, love our characters in different ways. And, you know, there's an appreciation for that, and that doesn't bother me, you know, that there are fans of us that like both at the same time, and they'll like both of us after the fight and before the fight. You know, I got to love that. I got to respect that. And then we both have our own fans that are just riding with me, and he's got his fans that are just riding with them. I'm sure I get a handful of fans that will message me or comment on my stuff, you know, talking crap. He gets the same with fans of mine. And but to have those middle ground fans that still love us both, that's just what makes this sport and makes this all great, right?
Mike, I want to talk to you about trash talking. I saw a video of you when you're fighting Marcel Stamps, and there was a lot of trash talking going on in the weigh-ins and press conferences. He flinched at you, and you didn't flinch, and you got him out of there pretty quickly in the first round. Are you a big trash talker? Do you just let your fists do the talking? You know, how's your approach to that and, you know, in the ring?
You know, and I can talk trash with the best of them. You know, Lorenzo and I had our own little banter back and forth. But when it gets to fight week and when it gets to, you know, the weigh-ins and the fight day, you know, and that's when I get kind of less with my words and more with my action. So for me, it's about going out there and executing now. You know, I know he'll probably still try to pull some weigh-ins antics. You know, I'm not going to be big on that. You know, obviously I'm going to try to avoid any BS that he's going to try to pull. But come fight night, it's just going to be going in there and getting after it. And he's going to finally face me.
You know, Mike, going back to the military and boot camp, we both went through it. And when that happens, and I wanted to ask you about this, do you kind of like revert back to boot camp when, you know, somebody's yelling at you and all you do inside is just kind of chuckle, like, you know, what is he trying to do?
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. On the outside, you're solid as a rock. You know, you're stone cold. On the inside, you're sure. For sure. You're in the inside, you're smirking, you're laughing, you're giggling, you're thinking to yourself, like, all right, dude, we'll see you tomorrow.
I know that you put up on Facebook you were trying to put together a very special walkout. Did all of that get put together?
You know, we had a couple of handful of people trying, and it sounded like it, as of right now, it's not gonna happen, which is kind of frustrating. But you know, dealing with some recruiting commands and some of the people in the I think there's a military base out here, it sounds like they just need a little bit more notice ahead of time to kind of do that type of dress blues kind of uniform entry. But, you know, I'm still going to see if there's some sort of last-second thing where I can come out with some guys. Now, whether they're going to be in a uniform or not, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, it's Wednesday afternoon. That gives me, what, about 2 days to get on the phone and see what I can put together.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
I will do it as soon as the show ends. I will try for the next 2 days to try to get something put together for you. As always, thank you for taking a couple minutes and talking to us. Best of luck on this weekend. Have fun. I already have your address. We're going to send you another care package from 8 Man Strong, some salsa from Blue Smoke Salsa, and just go do what you do best and have fun.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Look at that hand raised, big dog.
That is the Marine, Mike Richmond. And, yeah, you can have a side or you can have both sides, but there's that veteran side. And so you kind of know where I am. I'm just saying. I like Lorenzo. I like Lorenzo away from all the stupidity that he does.
True.
Okay? He's a different person.
And that's what sells tickets.
And I know he's trying to do all that.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, again, deep down is that veteran thing. And even though he's a Marine, you know.
I went skydiving with the Navy last week.
No, you didn't.
No, I was in Phoenix and I got a chance to do a skydiving.
Indoor skydiving?
Well, no. It was indoor, but it was a skydiving event I did with our producer Steve.
Oh,
and
my God.
And they gave us Navy swag to, like, you know, so now we're part
Navy
of
Navy swag. It was like a little submarine, little plastic submarine thing.
And I spent time at sea last during Christmas break. God. So Randy and I were both Navy vets.
He literally gets stupider by the minute. he truly, truly does. Oh, my goodness. I'm really looking forward to the first half of the show was outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, we talked Grand Prix, a UFC fighter. Mike Richmond, who has a big opportunity, solidify the two bouts, a couple more UFC fighters, and then I was so moved, and I'm going to say it to him when he's on, when Jens Pulver found out that he is the next inductee into the UFC Hall of Fame, it was definitely cool. I don't know if you know much about Jens and his background, and Jens said, and I'm sure he'll say it when he comes on, that his son was in the room when he found out. You know, he does a Twitch thing during all UFC fights. And, you know, he got emotional and teared up, and he said to his son, I hope you're proud of your father because I wasn't of mine. You know, just from his upbringing and everything. So
I have a beautiful segue from what you just said just now. Have you heard
recently? Yes, I love you.
Okay, I love you too.
Okay.
But have you heard recently about what Deion Sanders said about the Hall of Fame and how they kind of letting people in who shouldn't really be in?
I've been saying it for years. Oh, now all of a sudden people want to listen because Deion says it. I've been saying it for
it's
years.
Coach Prime.
Yeah, Coach Prime. Sorry, exactly. He doesn't like that Deion stuff anymore. But, you know, basically, what are your thoughts on, should they have a quota of people you let in every year, or should it be, hey, you didn't get enough votes, hey, you're not good enough to get in, so you don't get in?
I don't think there should be a quota.
I agree.
I think if you deserve to get in, you should get in.
Yes.
I've called all Hall of Fames the Hall of Pretty Good.
The NFL one was different, though, for a long time. The NFL Hall of Fame was one that was like, it's really tough to get in. Because baseball and basketball both look at it from your career. It's high school, you were studying high school. Basketball is like high school, college, pros. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame, it's the basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
But the NFL was the pro football NFL Hall of Fame. And so it was kind of the last sacred one.
Well, right. It's the Professional Football Hall of Fame. So it counts the Canadian, and, you know, that helped Warren Moon, even though his stats were definitely good. I call it the Hall of Pretty Good because good athletes get in it. And it should be the elites.
Yes.
You know, and I think when a non-elite, a good player, a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a big difference between good and great.
It should
great.
Be a no-brainer for me. If you think about it, you shouldn't be in.
I've always said, if you go to somebody and you say, whatever sport, I don't care what you,
you
know, you're a fan of the football. So if you go to an NFL fan and say, name me, give me a number, 15 running backs.
Yeah.
If not 100 people that you survey does not say somebody's name, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, because what's Hall of Fame in the Tampa Bay area may not be considered Hall of Fame, you know, in California.
Yeah.
Rondé Barber, taking as long as Rondé Barber took to get in, is asinine.
Yeah.
I also want to say that Rondé Barber knew. When I hugged him, whatever day that was, it was Thursday, and we were doing the show, and Rondé and I have been friends a long time, and I went over and just said, hey, it's good to see you, and that hug was different.
Yeah.
So Rondé knew before they announced it. I'm sure,
because they do the whole thing, and they go to your house. And
well, and I was told that they changed it, which I think makes sense, that they used to bring, like, whatever it is, it's down to 15 at the end. They would bring all 15 and put them in the hotel. Then do the selection and then go bang on the door. Can you imagine being brought, like, say, in Rondé's case?
Yeah, and then now getting your door.
Three times, four times. Where I have a problem with the Hall of Fames, and I've said this forever, whatever that number is, like baseball, whatever it is, 10 years, I don't know what it is. At the end of 10 years, if you have not gotten in, you should not get in.
Yeah.
That senior circuit, old-timer, blah, blah. The
40s, like, yeah, no.
For two reasons. One, the stats don't change over 30 years.
Yeah.
If you've made a mistake in 10 years, and unfortunately, more times than not, that person has now died.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even get to enjoy the fact that you've now stuck him in. So you're really putting him in to make yourself feel better, not the athlete that should have been in if he should have been in earlier.
And how is Devin Hester on the Hall of Fame? This is outrageous. He's a first-round Hall of Famer, without a doubt.
He's
Devin Hester.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
the special teams. He changed the position.
He changed
the game.
You literally could not kick him the ball.
Yeah.
People would punt the ball, shank it 30 yards out of bounds.
Explain to me how Ray Guy took forever to get into the Hall of Fame. Ray Guy, they named the punting award after him. Yeah, I think the dude was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's like, if you're not scoring points, if you're not field goal kickers.
Well, what about
it is ridiculous. Devin Hester changed the game.
Well, I'll say this right now. Sorry, I don't want to jump. Yeah. But Slater from the Patriots. In my opinion, he changed special teams. 9-time Pro Bowler, like 5-time All Pro in ten years playing, he should be a Hall of Famer. I think.
Yeah, well, at Meteor Row last week, I met a Dick, and I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
What does that have to do with anything?
Dick Butkus?
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, back when football was real football. That's what those guys
were
different.
About that
those too, are a different era, though.
There's this whole thing now going on. I saw the quarterback from the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. He's on TV all the time.
I'm Brad Johnson?
Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer.
Oh, Trent Dilfer.
Wow.
I wanted to see him.
Yeah. They're the same guy.
So
the same person.
Trent Dilfer gets on there. He says, I'm not impressed with these young quarterbacks.
Right.
We had it harder, whatever, whatever. I had the same problem with basketball players when they talk about, back in the
Bill
70s
Laimbeer.
When it was real basketball. I was like, no, you were tackling people.
Right.
You were playing football more than basketball.
No, Bill Laimbeer was throwing
bombs. For me, it's like to deny the fact that athletes are getting bigger, stronger, and faster. And kids who are playing high school football now would start on NFL teams back in the 70s. You can't convince me otherwise. You cannot, because these kids are bigger, they're stronger, they're more athletic than you were as a grown-up. So don't try and diminish what's going on now. I understand players are more protected, especially quarterbacks are more protected. But to tell me that they're not better because they're more protected, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. I don't like that aspect of it.
No, I agree. It evolves.
Yeah.
Everything evolves. But you can't take anything away from what they did when they did it.
Never.
It's kind of like when Colorado won, the national championship. And everybody's like, well, who did they play? They played who they played.
They beat their competition.
They beat who they played.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the way that it will continue. But no, I agree that it's the Hall of Pretty Good.
Yeah.
Now again, a lot of times I say that and stats do mean something. Like, just because I don't think Scott Rolen was a Hall of Famer, his stats were pretty good.
Yeah.
But you don't think of Scott Rolen as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
At least I don't.
Yeah.
I don't compare him to Mike Schmidt or Brooks Robinson or Wade Boggs. But if you look at his numbers, he was just a guy that did his job and hated the city of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. So I'll even say like this, Troy Aikman never led the NFL in passing. There were years they went to Super Bowl. He threw 10 touchdowns and like 6 interceptions, right? But he's a Hall of Fame quarterback because he led his team to 4 rings, right? To me, you can't put, because he has 4 rings, he's the same and he's better than Peyton Manning, who has less rings,
right?
So like all those things come into play.
Sure.
And it's like, for me, it's like, hey, like there's a, so I don't diminish, because again, Joe Montana, out of this world stats, like he's number 2 for me. Right? Tom Brady, number 1 because of accomplishments. But all those things go into it. And I think people don't look at the big picture. It's not just your stats, but how good were you against the people you were playing against? So, like, were you the top quarterback in your years there, right? Not just, oh, I was tagged along for some rings, and now I'm a Hall of Famer. So, is Robert Ory a Hall of Famer? Nobody's going to say
that. Yeah, Big Shot Rob? Come on. All day.
So,
all day. I got
so you say Brady and Montana, only because you don't know the stats of Otto Graham.
Ooh.
And your response is who?
Otto Graham is a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Legendary quarterback. But made the highest paid athlete at one time in the NFL.
No, he was not.
So he
was the highest paid football player.
I know Jim Brown. I know Sweetness. I know all these people who played a very long time ago. If I don't know you.
Do the stats. Look it up during this because we're at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Look up Otto Graham. We've got a couple interviews and sometime within the next hour.
And how can you say Big Shot Rob's not a Hall of Famer? He's got seven rings.
He was just, you know, on the right team at the right time.
You don't get your own nickname. You can't give your own nickname. Henry Cejudo on Media Row gave himself C4. Randy's like, hey, you can't give yourself your own nickname. That's not how it works. He goes, my credentials gave me my nickname.
It was a good line.
And we were like, okay. But Big Shot Rob, he got the nickname for hitting big shots in clutch situations.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. When we return, we'll head back out to Las Vegas as we get ready for another UFC weekend. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Snap Zone.
Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.